This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on, I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something good that I still haven't seen. But maybe one day we can try to watch the rest.
Yeah, that's right. Another Benevolence is back to talk about one of the top two shows on Netflix at the moment. We're talking about Full Swing, and we are talking about the new sports documentary that's taking you on the PGA Tour. And now here's a man who I'd love to go on tour with. Chappelle, how are you?
I'm great. I would love to go on tour with you too. But what will we be doing? Like, are we taking the podcast on the road?
I don't know. Being on the PGA Tour seems like a fun hang. You just like go around from city to city. Like, people just be like beloved and yeah. Just like go around and people just, cheer from you. I mean, maybe this is what it feels like to be Bryson Wen.
Pretty much. Yeah. I've seen them in action and they're very much like golf players, you know, very boring.
Go to the city and they adore you. Yeah.
Yeah. If we got to go anywhere, though, we have to go to Phoenix. I've seen enough of this documentary to know that's the stop I need to be making. That waste management place. I mean,
that's a good one. That's a good one to start. Okay. Mm. So we're talking about Full Swing. And of course, that it's something that I wanted to do for a while here on Nothing But Netflix. Of course, she's talking about sports on the Off Speed podcast, sports documentaries when they pop up. So I thought this would be a good time to get Grace Leader back with us. Grace, how are you?
Oh, thank you for having me back. I'm ready to tee off about Full Swing.
Okay. Grace and I just talked about the Super Bowl commercials the other day, the second year of an annual tradition. Chappelle, did you have any favorite Super Bowl commercials that you can remember?
No, I didn't remember any of the commercials. And then I got on the internet and everybody was like, did you see the Tubi thing? I mean, that happened. And I was like, no, what are you talking about? Yeah. I was like, yeah, it's a crazy thing. And so now I kind of feel like I missed the one moment I was supposed to be there.
Well, you've got some egg on your face because you've been the Tubi guy. Have you been like, hey, Tubi's the best. We should be like Tubi or not Tubi. And now everybody got real mad at Tubi for their Super Bowl commercial.
Right. Maybe that's why I didn't realize it was a big thing, because I saw Tubi pop up on my screen and say, yay, Tubi. It interrupted the Super Bowl, but it's cool. It's Tubi. You know,
should we have watched you like, oh, Mrs. Smith this week?
It's changing my TV to Tubi. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, fine.
That's fine. It'd be Super Bowl or Tubi. Yeah. Who knows?
To watch 2005's Mr. and Mrs. Smith with commercials.
We cannot talk here on Nothing But Netflix, because I'm pretty sure Bad Boys 2 was in the top 10 on Netflix yesterday. So we can't speak about 2005's greatest hits over here.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're talking about Full Swing. And, you know, Netflix is really, they've gone all in. Like, this is like Netflix sports. Of course, they have Drive to Survive. Then they also just did, Grace, they did the tennis one also.
We did Breakpoint. Ariel and I covered Breakpoint. Breakpoint was very good. The thing that I was thinking about this is that they have three in basically the span of about a month and a half that they've come out with, which is Breakpoint came out in January. Full Swing came out a few days ago, and then Drive to Survive season 5 is coming out next week, which I guess they're doing like the calendar. I guess all these sports are like calendar year. So by the time they get there, but then we're looking like back almost a full year ago, but it is a lot of sports content in the span of like a month and a half. And I like sports content, but it is a lot. They couldn't have spaced these out a little better.
Smart people are making these decisions. The algorithm figured it all out. But Chappelle, what's next?
I don't know. I don't know if this all comes from that very big basketball documentary they did about, you know, about Michael Jordan, where he did like a 10-parter. And then everybody's like, oh, you know, it was like weekly viewing. I remember, like, you know, and I think it was two episodes a week. And so you had to sit there for 2 hours listening to them talk about Michael Jordan. But it was so good. And then you get like these little offshoot shows. At least that's from my perspective, because I don't think I was aware of like the Drive to Survive and stuff like that before. Even with some of the stuff that's not as like, I mean, not typical sports, you know, like the cheerleading. We saw that as well. Mm-hmm. So they kind of like these shows where it just kind of follows you in the life of blank. And whether it's a pro golfer, basketball player, and, you know, maybe cheerleader. And then, you know, race car driver? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I remember you and Antonio, Rob, talking. You did your preview. You were looking the stuff you're looking forward to in 2023. And you're talking about, I think on that show, you also talked about like 1899 got canceled, which is this big budget show. You talk about that Netflix is stars or scrubs. You're comparing it to fantasy. That like it's either that they'll go, you know, they have their Stranger Things and these big budget shows. And then they also want to match that with like very
perfect match. Content. Yeah.
Perfect match. But I think that these, I can't imagine these are that expensive to make as long as these people are willing to sign on.
I don't know. So, you know, it's hard because I feel like, I don't know, are there rights involved where
I'm sure they paid the PGA Tour, but all, well, maybe,
but
not
the PGA Tour paying them.
Like, yeah, maybe. That's true. That's true. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Well, it just, and then it comes down to like, well, did Apple TV want this? Like, did other networks want this? You know, I got to think that's, you know, I have no idea how any of this works, Chappelle. Who's giving money to who? They should be giving money to us to talk about it.
Please and thank you. Mm-hmm. I think that we do a lot of work for Netflix indirectly and directly. We go and find their shows that people might not be watching. Easy Bag Battle. We put you on. You put the team on our back.
Put you on
that
the
one.
Map.
Right. Exactly. We didn't get anything. You gave us crumbs. So, yeah, I think Netflix owes us at the very least just a head nod and just say, good job. You know, that'll do, pig. That's what I need. Mm-hmm. I don't need, like, and then if they want to pay me, of course, I'll take that too.
Yeah. Okay. So Full Swing is going to profile a bunch of different golfers from the PGA Tour. It's so interesting to do this idea with golf, because I feel like with the Formula One show, Grace, you know, I feel like that, you know, the people who are driving the cars around, I feel like that you don't really know like who's in the car, but it's interesting that, you know, with golf, like, you know, there's almost no equipment, you know, you see these people up close, but you don't really know them.
Yeah, they're very, I feel like golfers are they the most aloof? Like, I feel like they're like, you know, has there been a big golf star since, I mean, Tiger Woods was the biggest golf star of all time, maybe the biggest sports star at the time. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like that's what these shows are trying to do to a degree, is to try to build some stars. Tennis is in the same boat, where they have these like major tennisers who are all sort of like beginning to end their career, Rafael Nadal and the like. And so I felt like this was like a good way to try to like put some people on the map. I mean, I don't know whether they're going to, you know, oh, I watched them in the Netflix documentary, so now I'm going to watch them and follow their career and their huge sensations. But I feel like I did get to know these people in Breakpoint. And now I thought, especially in the first episode of Full Swing, I thought there was a really good dive into these best friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the thing that's so tantalizing about golf is that, you know, you watch all these other, you know, incredible athletes in all these other sports, and Chappelle, it does look like, you know, these guys, even like in their training, it looks like I could do that.
I've seen golf for a number of years, and it's one of those things that looks so easy that I know I can't do it. It's like, if y'all who practice it for a very, very long time are like hitting the ball out into the water or into the brush or whatever, imagine that poor ball just sitting on the tee as I swing at it aimlessly. So I know it's something that I can't do, but it's like you said, the training montages don't seem that enticing to watch, because you're like, it's not like someone's punching a hanging slab of beef or nothing like that. They're just mm-hmm. like, kind of like doing some light exercise.
Yeah, they do
some
like calisthenics here and there. Evolve, like back and forth and stuff like
some
that.
Workouts,
and
they like do, you know?
Mostly
like
arms.
Raise like a bar. Yeah.
Yeah. Mostly in the arms, I think.
But, yeah. Out. It's not as dramatic as like the sweat pouring off your face and like someone's like spraying you in the face like Gatorade. Like, get up, champ. You know, it's golf.
Yeah.
Yeah, they seem like pretty normal dudes. There's that time where JT Justin Thomas goes into the store. They must have been so happy that someone recognized them. I know that they were literally in a town where like there's a massive golf tournament, but I feel like I would never recognize literally any golfer other than maybe Tiger Woods.
Yeah. Ever. Well, I wonder, is that like the best part of being like an elite golfer, right, where it's like you get to like have all of the trappings of being like one of these stars? But I mean, Chappelle, could you imagine like another like major sports? I guess because you like are sort of like able to like camouflage into like back to regular society, you know, you can't imagine like, OK, well, then, you know, Josh Allen just goes to CVS and, you know, has like a normal transaction.
Yeah, this is one of those things where I bet in golf, everybody knows your face. Everybody has been following you and everybody has seen it. But it's like, I'm so far removed from the golf world that you could walk right up to me and say, hi, I'm a professional golfer. And I'd say, okay, oh, really? When did you start? And you're like, well, I've won 18 of these green jackets. Like, oh, my bad. But I think that's like probably just like they're very famous in that circle of people who watch golf. And you know, because you get a lot of close-ups. In football, you almost never see these people's faces sometimes because they're wearing these helmets all the time. A football player can walk up to me and I can assume he's a football player by build, mm-hmm. but a golf player can walk past me and I'm just like, oh, he's an, you know, a real estate agent or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but at least football has those little like, you know, they put their picture up on the bottom of the screen, you know, they wear their helmet on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But at the same time, it's so interesting because Grace, the golf game, it seems like it's so mental and you're just like in a funk and you can't get out of it and you don't know what to do. It doesn't matter like, you know, how much you train in the gym, that it's just really about like just having like the right mindset.
Yeah, I love there's a scene where he goes after he's had a really bad day and is like practicing and his dad's like, yeah, this is a very pointless thing to his dad slash coach, which is a common theme across Breakpoint and Full Swing, that there's a lot of dad slash coaches.
A lot of Nepo babies in golf.
A lot of Nepo babies, yeah.
It's a thing. No, I agree. That was probably the most impressive part of all of this. Like, screw all that like physical stuff. When they get in their heads, I guess that's what throws you off, right? Like, because I guess, you know, like you have the skill level to make this putt, but then you start to question yourself and like, I don't know about this. And then you don't hit it with the most accuracy. And then at that point, you're now frustrated. So you get worse and then you get worse. And then now you're seeing like the leaderboard change. I guess it's kind of more like a slow burn in comparison to other sports. Because in basketball, you get the ball, you shoot the ball. You got roughly 25 seconds to figure out what you're going to do, you know, or whatever. But here, it's like you have all the time in the world, but you have the floor. We're all staring at you. Do something. Well, you talk it out.
4 days of competition, but also like you hit the ball as hard as you can. And if you like mess up, you now have to walk all the way to that ball. You like walk and be like, yeah, that was a really bad shot the whole time. You're like walking along the long green. Yeah, you're right. In basketball, you're like, shoot, you miss, you know?
You miss. Yeah, I never thought about that.
Yeah.
And then they were saying, once you're in your head, it's so hard to get out of it. I think he said, once you got the golf thing down, like once you're in the zone, you're in the zone and you think you're unstoppable because mentally you're like, I can do anything. I got this. And then the moment you start screwing up and that ball hits the water or the sand, you start like, dang, shit. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Damn. And yeah. And then again, people are just passing you up.
But that's what I find like so relatable about these professional golfers and like what they show is that I feel like that I know for myself, and I would imagine like a lot of other people feel this way of like that's kind of like life. It's like the days and the times when things are going good. I don't know what I did differently that day. Like, I don't know why things are necessarily going that well. And then when things are going bad, it's so hard to shake it off. And even just like sometimes like a little annoying thing will happen and then just like completely like spins me out and it's very hard to get back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you do, something does bring you back. You're like, I don't know what that was. I've just been down better. I think I'm on a roll. You know?
Yeah. I shake it off. I'm good. No, I hate that. Whenever something bad happens to me and it's followed by like the avalanche of bad mood and bad things, I always sit down and have this moment where I'm just kind of like talking to God and just like, what did I do?
Yeah.
What was it? Yeah. What did I do? I didn't have to convince myself to, like, you're a good person, right? Like, you tithe when you go to church every other time, you know, in years that you went to, you know, back when you went to church, you used to tithe.
I couldn't have been. Maybe that's a promise, man. You're like, I tithe. I used to tithe.
I've been to church. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was like, I deserve nice things.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have to fight that fight sometimes too.
I know you fight the fight, Chappelle. I saw on Twitter yesterday that you said that you were like doubled over in pain. Are you back to normal?
No, I said my stomach was flipping like Simone Biles.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I got really sick on Thursday. And I think it's just my allergies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? You were sick?
Yeah, I had a colitis flare-up. These are the words.
Oh,
yes.
My God. Yeah. Well, my shit doesn't compare. So let me just stop complaining.
No, you can complain. I was trying to complain with you.
Okay, let's do it. I was like, I was up all night because I slept bad because I was sick. And then there was nothing to eat. So I was just eating Doritos. And it was just a whole thing. And then the next day, it was even worse because why would you get sick and then eat Doritos? I don't know. It was a whole thing.
Yeah, because I feel like that, like you usually hear that advice of if you don't feel well, eat Doritos. And so I'm surprised it didn't work.
I literally have Doritos over there that I bought yesterday because I had not been feeling well and I wanted something to make me feel better. So I literally
me and Grace are on the same page. Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, and did you have to go out and buy your own Doritos at the store when you weren't feeling well, just like Justin Thomas had to go to CVS?
Yeah, I did. That's pretty embarrassing. Not embarrassing. We've all been there, right? When you're like, it's just that his card wasn't working, right? Is it not that he like couldn't afford it, right? Because we didn't get into like money problem issue. Like that's where I thought we were going.
Yeah.
Like,
let's talk about that. So Justin Thomas is playing at the PGA Championship, and he knows that he has like some allergies that are bothering him, and so he's like, I got to get to CVS and get some allergy medicine. But the whole thing I'm thinking of like, don't you have a caddy? Don't you have people? Like, why? If I was like playing in the PGA Championship, like, I feel like I know me, a humble podcaster. Like, I think I'm going to DoorDash this CVS order.
I don't know. I mean, he has a caddy. I don't know that in the caddy's responsibilities, it's like, I don't think they're like their assistant the whole time.
Can you run out and pick me up some Claritin?
Yeah,
I'm a caddy, you jerk. I didn't go to caddy school for this.
I will give you a club. I will not give you. I'm not going to CVS.
There's not I think people has, you can give like the $30 to go to CVS.
I mean, maybe this is how he has
millions of dollars are on the line here.
Yeah, he does win like $2.5 million. Although he had not had that.
I'm sure he hadn't won yet. Yeah, I'm sure if he just walked out into the crowd and said, hey, anybody got some allergy medicine? Like 18,000 people would have just thrown Zyrtec at them. Like, Allegra, Benadryl. Like, it's just raining.
It does look like he's an individual who maybe doesn't get allergies often. And for whatever he got them this time, because when he leaves the store, I guess I'm not presuming that all of this was allergy medication, but you know, when you're like, you don't really know what you need.
Some other
you have like something is wrong and someone's like, you should go pick up this stuff and you go to the store and then there's like 15 different types of thing for that thing. You're like, I don't know what Tylenol I need. And so you just buy like, you know, your NyQuil and allergy medication and all this. It looked like a really big bag of allergy medication when he left that store. Yeah, maybe just maybe why his card was declined.
Yeah. Which <Yeah. laughs> I feel like that the caddy should also like have like a bunch of stuff like should be prepared for anything. This is literally your job. You're a caddy.
Look, I don't know what the caddy's responsibilities is. I don't know if it's just like I hand the caddy things and the caddy carries them, or is the caddy my personal like, okay, I'm the
golfer. Think he's a Gary from Beep? Like the assistant to the vice president?
Yeah.
Did anybody get that reference? No, that's fine. Tony.
No, I got it. But I don't know if it's just like, you just hand them stuff and say like, oh, here, hold this. Because that's what I assume caddies do. They carry things. But to go and like actually go gather something like antihistamines, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's check the caddy rule book.
Yeah, that was so interesting. Maybe like we can get some insight into like, can you send you? I feel like you should be able to send the caddy down. They work for you, right?
Mm-hmm. Also, no. I think allergy medicine would be one of the top five things I would have if I was always
there
out in the grass.
There is a lot of grass. Right.
I mean, just interesting choice to become a golfer if you're allergic to grass, you know?
That's true.
I don't know. Maybe it was a pollen issue.
You really love the sport.
I'm not sure exactly how it works.
in Breakpoint, there it did seem to like that, like they often had like big teams, like, but yeah, I guess his dad is just, so again, like his dad isn't going to go run out for him or whatever, but yeah, he doesn't seem to, it does
I,
seem
I
like
I would go
just,
buy
like,
allergy there. Medicine for my son, and he doesn't even make a lot of money.
That's very nice of you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Grace, it seems like that we watched two episodes of Full Swing. Each of the episodes seems like it was profiling two different people. The way that these shows work, do they always, is it always like two people, and then do they ever like go back around to like the top of the lineup, and then will we come back to follow Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas again?
So Breakpoint, which was only it was six episodes, and they released, and then there's another six episodes coming in June. Every episode was profiling different players, and sometimes like we did see, I think in episode two, like Justin Thomas had like a very small little thing to say in episode two. Like he clearly gets interviewed, and so I'm really fascinated by this because with Breakpoint, I was really interested. How they decide, like, did they go into this episode one being like, yeah, Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, or they like actually do this with like a bunch of different people, and Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas clearly have the best story from episode one from the PGA tour, and then that's how they decide what to do. But typically, from what I've seen, in a single season, they will not go back. Although I have to say, I'm a bit of a Drive to Survive casual. So if I got that wrong, that's fine. But yeah. For Breakpoint, they did not revisit, like every episode is focused on different people.
Well, in episode one, they focus on Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, who are like real life best or close friends, that Jordan Spieth is going to be the best man at Justin Thomas's wedding. They seem like that they actually have like a actual relationship. But in episode two, they focus on like Brooks Koepka and Scottie Scheffler, who don't seem to actually have a relationship. They just seem like that they're at like opposite points in their career. It's almost like that they're sort of like mirror images of each other, and they paired them up that way.
Yeah, what I thought was really good about Breakpoint was that they did have like each episode. I think they do a really good job in terms of one of the things I think that was really good about Full Swing from two episodes in is that it's a really well made. I feel like they've figured out
super well made. Like that goes like, without saying.
I feel like they've sort of figured it out as well in terms of like you need a story to tell, and if you don't have a story, and so like in Breakpoint, it was a lot of like the Breakpoint tennis. It's like you only one person. Doesn't lose essentially, right? Like if you make it to the finals and you lose, you have lost a game and therefore you go home. When you lose, you go home. And so it was a lot of like, you know, how much can you do that until you lose and some people win and whatever. And in these first episodes, I thought that they had these really tight stories, especially in episode one. I thought it was like tremendous that like the fact that they found Spieth and so, not that they found them, but they chose to highlight them. And Spieth has sort of the upper edge on Justin Thomas. And is maybe playing better. And then Justin Thomas comes in and has this like sort of remarkable run. And even within his story of having a remarkable run, he also has this really bad day where he almost loses and then just narrowly edges up. Like, that's like, how happy are you if you are Netflix and you get this story for your first episode? It's like so good.
Mm-hmm. Grace, do we also know, are they telling the story like in whatever order they feel like, or are they following the tour throughout the entire, is the PGA championship like the start of the season?
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be, from what I believe, it'll be chronological. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying though, that they must have to. Like they must be interviewing everybody at the first tournament and like and then trying to narrow in as they're going as to what's the best story for our episode one at this tournament, because there's no way that they just happened to luck into getting Spieth and Justin Thomas. They must have like also been interviewing everybody else in hopes that like they get, in terms of who they can get. They often don't. I feel like these shows don't often get like the biggest.
Well, names, yeah, right? That's a big deal here because I think that while they do get a lot of access to the PGA Tour, Chappelle, you will not be seeing Tiger Woods. You'll be hearing about Tiger Woods, and there's like footage of him, like they'll film him like walking by. Tiger Woods is not participating with Full Swing.
No, and it's crazy because, like you said, they do two golfers every episode that we've seen so far. But they sprinkled Tiger Woods into the second episode. Like I thought, like, oh, this is about Tiger Woods and someone else. That's my first instinct when I saw him, because I was like, oh, they have to be centering this story around him, because why else would you use him at this moment? Because you're going to take so much attention to the two people we're supposed to be learning about. And that's exactly what happened to me. I was like, okay, so what's Tiger doing here? Like, what's he about to do? Is he about to make some like meteoric comeback because they were just building up on like the energy was in the room was changing and all this other stuff. And what we ended up seeing was just like a guy struggle a lot, you know, like, and that was tough to watch because I really thought like, oh, we were about to get a lot of action here.
Well, Breakpoint had the same thing where Rafael Nadal had a really great 2022. And so he features a lot because like sometimes these people who they're like hoping might make the final end up getting put against Rafael Nadal and they end up like losing, or the stories that they can beat him. That's like the thing. And so I think that the thing is that, yeah, they like Tiger Woods has like PGA Tour has agreed to have Netflix there. So Tiger Woods will not be interviewed. He's not going to do a confessional and he's not going to be the center of any story, but then they can use him to either highlight the PGA Tour or specific stories that they want to tell about these other people. So I think like in this example, like this one turn is like, yeah, Tiger Woods is back after this like long thing, and they can show like this. I think what they're kind of trying to do in episode two with Brooks, Kopech, is that how you pronounce his name? I watched the whole thing. That like, Tiger Woods has a successor, like how hard it is just be like long running successful at golf. And so you have the story of Tiger Woods looming over like what it's like to not be the absolute superstar of the sport and be this like guy who's won a couple of things, but how hard it is to maintain this. So they'll use these large, these like really big figures who they'll never get to sit down for an interview because they probably all have to pay all these people and they're too much money, but they can use them to like enhance the stories, what they're trying to tell. Sometimes it will work and sometimes it will not work.
Well, you know? I say this as somebody who does not really have like a great sense of the landscape of the PGA Tour, but it seems like that, you know, you have like a bunch of like young guys and like newcomers who have come along. And then also you have like this absolute like titan of golf and of sports and like just like one of the most famous people in the world in Tiger Woods. And there's just like everybody is just like in awe of him, like walking around.
This is incredible. They were in awe of him, and then but the episode just concludes with Tiger did really, really poorly that day. It's like, does he know that this is how you're going to portray him? Because I don't, get me wrong, Tiger Woods knows that that happened. I'm sure he's had bad days before, but at the same time, he doesn't seem like the type of person who would like to see his fall from grace. No disrespect, Grace.
I'm not pushing Tiger Woods at all. He's not falling for me. Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? I don't know if he wanted to see that highlighted as much as it was in this episode.
Well, one of the things I thought was really interesting, I don't know who wins any of these tournaments. And so I'm wondering, like, I have a friend, Mike, he's a humongous golf fan. And I'm like, I wonder what his experience will be watching the show, because like he knows what all the results are. So like he must watch the Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth episode being like, oh yeah, I know how this plays out. Whereas like, I'm like on the edge of my seat. Like I didn't know whether Justin Thomas was going to win that tournament or not. Like I thought it was very fun, but I mean, people watching be like, oh yeah, who are like huge golf fans be like, oh yeah, that's a really bad tournament for Tiger Woods. It's very weird that they're hyping him up.
Yeah. And Tiger Woods is in the news even recently with Justin Thomas, but maybe that's going to have to wait till next year to our full swing season two. Let's talk a little bit about the events that we see in the first episode of the show, where we have like this like, you know, great comeback, which ends up happening. And, you know, for the show in the first episode, really to have this story, Grace, we saw Justin Thomas. He was like so far out of it where he's what, 5-6 strokes behind. The announcers say he has like a...
1% chance to win.
1% chance to come back. I feel like, you know, Chappelle, never say that there's a 1% chance of something happening now.
Yeah, that just throws everything off. You say it and it's kind of like, okay, so it's probably either definitely going to happen. Like, it's more like a 50-50 chance the moment you say that. It's like, actually, it's a coin toss because we've seen crazier things happen. Crazier than this, for sure.
I feel like that, at least 50% of the 1% things that could happen, I feel like, have happened in the last few years, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we're in like a twilight zone, you know, period of, of the world, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we are. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, they call it the... So I love this. I love that... I'm just going to jump to the end of this the story where he wins. and he like wants to soak in the moment. And I just like, I feel like this was, let me start from the beginning. When I started this episode, I was like, all right, let's see. Like these are well-made documentaries. And then I was like, yeah, I'm not a huge golf fan. I've never played golf. I don't follow golf. I think there's some interesting stuff just from sports. And then as I was watching, I was like, oh, this is really well-made. It's really good. It's really interesting. I think it's doing a really good job. And then I got reminded maybe why I don't love golf, which is he wins. And he's like, I wish I could just like celebrate for a bit with maybe like my wife and my family. Like, no, we have to get you in front of a room of really rich white folks. And mm-hmm. we're going to need you to toast champagne. And so he runs off. But as he's being introduced, they call it the greatest comeback in golf history, I think is what they call it. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's pretty impressive. They catch it for the documentary. Greatest comeback.
Yeah. I mean, should he be like getting like a Claritin commercial out of this, Chappelle?
He definitely should.
At the very least. Do y'all think this is shenanigans? Is Big Golf trying to sell us something here? Like, was this all part of the script?
You saying he was ripped?
Was this on the script? You know, like,
Did they get the script?
Yeah. Let's just talk about it. Okay. This amazing comeback. Just that once in a lifetime, 1% story. It just happens to happen when Netflix is doing a documentary that is going to go chase some golf fans.
Well, he's got to hit these shots. That's the thing.
Does he? Because we still got a lot of cuts. Yeah, a lot of cuts. Green screen or not green, but some other screen, you know.
What if we look up the stats and he didn't win? This is just a Netflix. This is all fiction. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Disney version of this.
I will say, no disrespect to the PGA and golf as a sport. I think if they're scripting it, I feel like they can make it more exciting.
Ooh, okay. No. You need to elaborate. What's going on, Grace?
You got full. I'm a pro wrestling fan. Go full pro wrestling. Like, how come Spieth isn't hitting Jordan in the back of the, you know, with a chair after he defeats him? You know, like, it really adds some energy to the scripted nature of golf.
Okay,
really.
Yeah. Well, I think you could do that. I mean, they're not gonna hit each other with a chair, but like, what if he was like sleeping with his wife? I mean, they know each other. Yeah. No, and we follow them back to the house.
He goes to CVS. They come back
and he sees them.
He's sneaking out the window. Yeah, that's perfect.
Or he's walking into CVS. She's walking out. What was she buying? Who knows? You know, I don't even need that much drama. But just give me some trash talk. Give me some like, so, Justin, what are you thinking about this competition? It's like, yeah, I'm about to blow them all out the water. They all need to see me on the green, you know, that kind of thing. Give me some tension, you know, let me know that I want to root against some of these people. I need to know who the villains are, the heroes are. And I think that's what Drive to Survive did really well. Like, I knew who I was rooting for. I knew who I was rooting against. I knew their whole stories. I knew who was beefing. Give me some of those like cutaways and stuff like that during golf, you know, where you just see their interactions or hear like their backstories. I need all of that.
They all seem pretty friendly. Yeah.
They all seem pretty friendly. If anything, like the enemy, like the big bad of the series that they seem to be making out is talking about live golf of like, oh, have you heard about this? Have you like, I feel like that all of the promos, like there's a new golf tour from Saudi Arabia trying to steal people, very evil, we really don't like them.
I think we watched the first two episodes. I do think there's going to be, whether or not they paint people as villains, but I do think there's like in the previews, there's very much this like the moral, you know, contempt of going over to play for LIV is like, they're going to pay a lot of money and that's Saudi money.
Yeah.
And so I do feel like they're going to very blatantly be like, yeah, that guy took a lot of money from Saudi Arabia and like, just leave it at that. I think it's just like how you want to interpret whether that person then becomes a villain or not. But I agree that in the first episode of Breakpoint, it's all about the bad boy of tennis, Nick Kyrgios. I feel like we didn't really get that. I feel like we could use a bad boy of golf, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. We did get a bad boy of F1 as well in Drive to Survive. I don't remember which bad boy was the baddest, but we did get that storyline. Do you think every sport, because Grace, you cover a lot of sports. Is there a bad boy of blank in every sport or what, even like every career field?
There should be, if it would be more exciting for the sport. Mm-hmm. There's a bad boy.
Yeah.
Rob is the bad boy of podcast.
Famously. Mm-hmm. I think that the longtime bad boy of golf is John Daly. And he's like considered to be like, but he's been like the bad boy of golf for like 30 years.
I've never said bad boy so much, but he's a bad boy. What does he do? What does he?
He smokes and drinks. Yeah.
He's Mikey's favorite golfer. He's known for like wearing very outrageous outfits as well.
Yeah. Controversial figure. Yeah.
He's got a
Okay, yeah, he's got some subsections to his personal life section on Wikipedia.
Yeah, okay, I see. Yeah, I see. Definitely. Some drop down menus there as well.
Yeah, learn more. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I guess according to Golf Digest, some of the other famous badasses are Bubba Watson, Dustin Johnson.
He's going to be in this, I believe, Dustin Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah. Who is the bad boy of golf? John Daly comes up first.
I think
Is Jonah Hill going to play John Daly in a biopic?
The bad boy of acting.
The bad boy of acting. Yeah, so I think that John, by comparison, like I think nobody can ever compete with John Daly for being like a personality on the golf course, because I mean, so many of the guys are just like, it's the same presentation. I got to be honest, like that we watched the documentary on these people, and then if you put like Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas and Scottie Scheffler in a lineup and told me who's who, like I couldn't do it.
Yeah. I was wondering, right? We talked about you being the bad boy of podcast.
I mean, you all talked about it. I didn't talk about it.
Collectively. Yeah. I was just wondering, should we reach out to Netflix about doing this type of documentary, but on podcast?
Well, I thought about this. And I feel like that, I think it would play more like an SNL sketch than an actual show.
I would have to agree.
But do you think Chappelle, they do such a good job of taking something that some folks would even, not us, might say like, okay, ooh, this is a boring subject. Okay. Golf is not the most exciting thing in the world, but they make it like so gripping. Like, could they do that with podcasting?
Yeah, probably. We know the catastrophes that could happen with podcasts. We know like the last minute fixes that happen. Mm-hmm. Rob, you get a lot of calls to put out fires in the middle of the night when it comes to these things. You know, like imagine the setup. You go to post the podcast, everything's fine, and then you get a million messages the next day, and it's like the podcast isn't playing, like the audio's gone, and then everyone's calling you, and then you get a phone call and somebody's rescheduling the podcast. Like, I just need a moment.
Yeah,
they could. Just all they need is music and angles, and it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I joke about like the plight of the podcast, which I'd say as a joke that like, oh my god, our job is so hard that we talk about like TV and stuff. But like, there is like there's things that you like you do deal with. You're like, hey, you watch TV different. I think like, that's really interesting. Like, it totally changes how you watch TV and all of these things.
You know, who would be the star of like the Netflix sports podcasting show is I think Sam Moore. I think that's
That would be great.
Like he's like very panicked, like very stressed, like
and he's managing this all of this, right? Because you're like, he's like got his boss, but they're following the life of Sam, and he's like, I got a 4:30 with Chappelle today, and like he's probably not gonna text back. And it's like Sam just
Rob made me go get allergy medication today.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm at the Wegmans,
Yeah. That'd be great. Like he would bring the a lot of gravitas to like what's going on, make it feel like very serious.
That'd be great.
And then follow him at a live show too,
Well, that would be the episode. The episode.
I think
leading up
to the live show and
would be the live show, and then it's
Sam rises to the occasion. It would be a really good show. I mean, I'm telling you. And then like you legit have to deal with incredibly insane people. Like he has to deal with me at a live show. Like Chappelle, get the mic. What? Where are you? What are you talking about? I left the building. You know, those kind of things. It would be good.
They could do it.
Yeah.
Life is a movie.
I mean, these producers are great. Grace, I know these are the same producers as Drive to Survive. They also, Breakpoint is also the same producing team.
I believe so,
okay. Mm-hmm. And they just like, they've got the Formula One down. They know what they're doing. Let's talk about the second episode that we watched also. And this one really profiles Brooks Koepka, and then the antithesis of Brooks Koepka, Scottie Scheffler, who they just paint as like a guy who's kind of like a wonder kid who's like come along, went from like relative like nobody to just somebody who has just like been dominant, but also like seemingly like when they go like inside of his head, like there's nothing going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's too. Yeah. Versus this guy who like is overthinking everything. It's like doesn't think he's very good at golf either. So I love. Is it in the first episode where the guy's like, I love this piece of advice, and I kind of like want to take it with. Is like when he has a he has like a bad day. The guy was like, but also you're like very, very good at golf. Like, let's just remember that you're like very, very good. You're like one of the top 50 people in the world at this thing just because you had a bad day. Like, I was joking with you before, but like, I thought it was very, they're like talking about like the plight of these, like Brooks Koepka is like, he's like, I'm having the worst day, whatever. And then it will like flash that he came in like 48th and he won like 40 grand. And you're like, that's like a pretty good day. I feel like that should be a pretty good day, even though he's like totally bummed and stressed out and upset and wants to like quit this whole thing. He just made like 40 grand, which I'm sure is like not inexpensive. Go and travel around the world and play golf, just wanted to point that out.
That's a good point. And he was very embarrassed as well, and that's probably another thing that you don't really feel on a large scale for a very long time in certain sports, because today's basketball game, there's the next basketball game, and somebody else is going to screw up, trust me. You know, you miss a tackle right now, 4 plays from now somebody else is going to miss a tackle. You know, you can't really put a lot of these losses on one person, even though sometimes it is heavily on one person. It's like, if it comes down to something that is just, you know, as simple as one play or something like that, it's like, you could have probably done better throughout the game. Whereas here, everything is on one person's shoulders the entire time, like literally in their shoulders. And so if that person is having a bad day, it's like, stop having a bad day. You need to win. And they can't do it. And it's like, no matter how hard they try, they're making it worse. And people are going, ooh. And, you know, and like people are walking away, leaving their area because there's nothing to see here. Like, it's very like, you know, kind of invasive in a way. So I felt uncomfortable even just witnessing that from their point of view, because I don't think I can handle it.
How about the waste management?
That was dope.
Where they're booing people. They're booing them.
I appreciate that, though, because that's kind of a lot. That's like, it's part of the environment. Like, they boo you, but you can like flip them off. Like, yeah. You know, like that's the wrestling element that we
need. That is a wrestling element. Yeah.
I mean, that's so wild, Grace, that they have this one tour where it's like a stop where it's just like really just like rowdy and crazy.
Yeah. Phoenix. What's going on in Phoenix?
A lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I believe it was last. Was it? Is there a hole? I think there was a thing last year. Like, if you score a hole in one on that, there's also this like. That's where like they throw beer at you, I think.
Yeah, or they throw beer, like, beer cans.
Yeah.
They throw beer at you if you get a hole in one.
They throw beer at you for any reason, it seems. In the documentary, they would throw beer at you if you did poorly.
See, I thought there was a story last year, but then it does see like there's a story from like a week ago. John Ram putt at 16th hole sparks chaotic scenes at Waste Management Phoenix Open.
Oh my God.
Which he just, I guess he just had a long putt.
And these people are doing great, because Chappelle, I got to imagine a beer at the Waste Management Open is probably like $14.50.
Yeah. Oh, at least. And these people are, they're just so rowdy. They're just waving their polo shirts over their head. Lacoste is flying everywhere. Goddamn fairies are on the ground. You know, like, oh my God, this is crazy. But I appreciate this. What I didn't appreciate was all the trash. And then I realized, oh, it's waste management. They probably does. That's nothing for them. That's like a day, you know, that's like, all right, we're the trash people. It's cool.
Include me. So what a great bit to like let people throw trash. And you're like, don't worry, we're the waste management. Okay.
We're waste management people. We're going to get it. We got it.
Yeah. Wait till you see this golf course. It'll be pristine.
Yeah. But see, that's what I'm talking about. Like, even if you
waste
do like
management,
a golf game.
We're in our bag.
No. Like, you know, like those golf games that they have. Like, I appreciate more of these, like, really, like, okay, if you got different levels, and one of the levels is like the waste management level, and there's like a beer can in the way, and you have to navigate that in your putt.
That's just mini putt. That's just mini putt. Yeah, mini golf.
Well, that's a professional sport too. My old boss used to play mini golf, and I didn't know this because I guess it's not something you have to advertise. So one day I had walked into his office, and he's like, I was looking over his shoulders, talking to him about like work, and he like has one of his tabs, and it's like the mini golf world championships. I was like, are you watching mini golf? He's like, no, I'm just sizing up my competition. I said, oh God.
Wow.
Like, I didn't know this was a thing. What do you mean size them up? It's mini golf. How much could there be to look at? Just, you know,
do they have caddies? I think you should use the putter.
Yeah. Don't hit the windmill. Trust me on this one.
Also, I need some allergy medication.
Yeah.
who's the bad boy of mini golf?
Yeah, that's right. I want to know.
Your boss. Chappelle, is there a tour for the mini golf championships? And should that be the next Netflix documentary?
And it's not a national thing. It was an international championship. Like, this is a worldwide. Like, this is the Olympics of mini golf, I'm sure, that this man was preparing for. But it was just so funny to me because I didn't know that was a thing. Now, and I'm not going to discount anybody's sport. If you tell me it's a sport, damn it, because I can't do it. And so when they said mini golf, I said, okay, cool. Because there's no chance in the world where I would be in like any, I'm not meddling in any mini golf competition for any reason. Like, I suck at all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, there's a whole website. gov.minigolfsport.com is the World Mini Golf Sport Federation.
I'm telling you.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's even an anti-doping tab on their website.
Anti-doping?
It's the fourth tab. Anti-doping.
Mm-hmm. In mini golf? What are they testing you for?
Yeah, what, I don't know. Are they performing? Like, I guess that you can performance enhance anything, I guess. So maybe it's like whatever skills you need for mini golf, if you take the right whatever, then you get better at it. I don't know.
Well, they're coming back this year. The World Championships in 2023, first time since COVID-19, they're going to be held in Sweden. Not the first time since COVID they're being held in Sweden. It's the first time the championships are being held, and they happen to be being held in Sweden. Yeah. So, wow.
So
let's go.
I'd like to talk a little bit about Brooks Koepka, who I think was a pretty good like a reality star here in this second episode. And we've really spent a lot of time with Brooks Koepka and his wife. And I wonder if they were maybe angling for, maybe this golf thing isn't going great, maybe that they could get a reality series out of this.
Her and Jenna Sims, right? His wife, girlfriend. She's, yeah, they could be on their own TV show. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were the most entertaining part about Brooke, because Brooks was like very down on themselves the whole time, you know? So I was like, man, I really, give me some like energy, you know? But I mean, when you are addicted to winning and you're not winning, it kind of sucks, you know? And we got to watch like his whole struggle throughout that episode.
Jenna Sims has been in three movies. I think all might be a good fit for the crappy movie diaper.
Yes. What are they?
Attack of the 50-Foot Cheerleader.
Okay.
Reheaded Ooh. Shark Attack and Sharknado 5 Global Swarming.
Wow.
Those are the three movies that she has been in.
The 50-Foot Cheerleader one probably sounds the most entertaining for me. I think that one's wild. I mean, don't get me wrong. Sharknado, you know, it's been done five times.
I just like that, that she's in five. She's in five. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. What's her background?
Oh, do you know her co-stars on Three-Headed Shark Attack? This is a wild Danny Trejo and then pro wrestler Rob Van Dam.
Oh, wow.
Rob Van Dam.
RVD?
RVD. Yeah, the whole
thing. Did they have to do a frog splash?
I guess so. Yeah, on the shark. Anyway, that's tremendous.
Okay. Yeah, this is so interesting.
Brooks Koepka, I thought he was very, very fun. I love the mentality to set up a trophy case with a bunch of places left to put trophies is really interesting. I don't know that I would do that. I don't think that that's for me to be like, look at all the places where I have not won trophies yet. But I guess if you're like uber competitive and like need the like something to fuel you, it's a very interesting thing that he has all these like trophies, empty cases on his wall.
No. I'm, you know, not as skilled enough to at anything, at any given thing, to ever assume I'm going to get a bunch of trophies for it. And so I was impressed that he even just had like, you know, like that's some audacity there. Cause every day you walking past that thing and it's basically telling you that you suck. Like, you didn't win this one. Remember you missed this one. That's just me in life. Like, I don't need a case to do that, you know? Yeah. So more power to him.
Yeah. And for Brooks Koepka, that he has had success in the past, but it's been a minute since he's tasted victory. And it just seems like he's getting further away from it. And he says like a couple of different points. He's like, I would trade all of the past success just to taste it again one more time.
No, he said, I give away all the money.
No.
He's never going to give up those successes. He liked to win too much.
Yeah.
But he's like, I don't know if
he consulted with Jenna Sims about that decision.
Yeah, that's right. Here's a really interesting, I wonder whether they're going to focus on him in future episodes. I know some people might have watched ahead and might know. I don't think he'll be the highlight of an episode, but he does have a very interesting 2022. I would just say that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Should I spoil it? I don't know if I should spoil it or not.
I feel like it's not spoiler. It's last year.
It's right? Real life, right? It's real life. This is the thing that's very difficult. Okay. He ends up joining Liv. In June, he goes and joins Liv. And he actually does win one of the tournaments in October. So it's very, very interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Good job.
So he says he'll give away all his money. And he also maybe made a lot of money to go play for Liv. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I am very fascinated about how they're going to portray all of the stuff with the LIV Golf, because, you know, LIV Golf, of course, the big storyline is, of course, you know, it's backed by Saudi Arabian money, and there are all sorts of different, you know, human rights issues involved with that. But I do find it a little like hypocritical that I feel like that all of the like, oh, the you know, that Saudi Arabian money is very, you know, where it comes from, very, that's very bad. Obviously, you know, we're on a high moral high ground, but I don't feel like that there's a lot of like scrutiny about like where the rest of the money that finances the PGA Tour comes from. Like, I feel like that there's no like a $3.8 million. Like, where are we getting that from? Nobody else is like, what does this company do?
Yeah, when Speed, or no, sorry, Justin Thomas goes and he's like, no time to celebrate. We gotta like toast champagne with all these like club members. I don't know who they are.
The club members, but also like, you know, like all these like companies, they wear like logo for like like, what does this company do? Like, should we explore that? Like, no, they're cool, they're with us. But like the LIV stuff is like, you know, very much like, hey, we're the PGA. We do not. You know, we have only like the highest of standards of anybody that gives us money.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no ethical consumption or capitalism. So it is what it is.
Yeah. I don't know. Those are good questions, though, because this is golf. You know, you're paying these people a lot of money to come in, like Gray said, to come in like 54th place. Like, what? You just got it to give away. You know, you just got extra, huh? Mm-hmm. You just got all this money and you'd rather just keep on, you know, making great fake grass.
So part of the LIV thing, right, was that people could get signed and you would get a for sure amount of money, I believe, each mm-hmm. like you're guaranteed money. Whereas when you play in the PGA, that is brutal, that if you go for the first 2 days and you get cut, you make literally no money from coming to play in this tournament. Isn't mm-hmm. that wild? That is wild.
That, I kind of like that, though. Risk.
You like it?
Yeah.
You're not to survive. You know, you got to win.
Yeah. It's a meritocracy.
Yeah. And then it's also golf, you know, like yeah. you're going to be out here slowing us down. And
you eat what you kill.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think, the PGA Tour.
I think that no matter what place anybody comes in, we should all split the prize money equally, I think.
Yes, Grace. So some golfer just like crashes while listening to this.
Yeah. I'm starting a new league, a socialist golf. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Communist golf. Up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So in this second episode, we also get to see the profile of Scottie Scheffler, who just, you know, comes across as like completely like unbothered on the whole tour. There's one point that they're at the Masters, right? And they're just like, and he's just like talking, and he's like talking to the caddy, like, you know, what's really annoying? My wife, she eats pretzels, like over eats popcorn.
No, popcorn.
Popcorn in the bed.
Caddy's like, oh, the worst. Yeah.
This guy, he's just, everything just comes so naturally to him. We hate him. We love Brooks. Yeah.
I love Scottie Scheffler. I love that. I love that he's like, not, he's like, yeah, obviously when I'm golfing, I concentrate on golf, but like, you know, in that in between time, yeah, I'm not talking about my wife eating popcorn in bed. It's very annoying.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a moment too where they were like, if you ask him what's he thinking, he's not thinking anything because he's winning. He's like, oh, okay, dang. He just got it all together, huh?
Yeah.
And then by the end of the episode, he's like, hey, I don't even know who won that crazy golf tournament I was in. I did so poorly. I wasn't even paying attention. They go, you know who won? He's like, Scotty. Mm-hmm. Damn Scotty.
Yeah.
Like, you damn right it was.
Yeah. But I want to go back to the popcorn in bed. Chappelle, would you ever eat popcorn in bed?
Yeah, of course I would. I mean, like, it's not like a go-to. And if I can avoid it, I will. But if necessary, yeah, I'm eating popcorn in the bed. It's not going to kill me. And I'm also a very neat eater. So I'm not going to have like popcorn everywhere. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be in that little bag. I'm not going to get too reckless. Because what do you sleep on, a kernel or something like that? You don't want to do that, right?
How do you eat popcorn? I feel like there's no way to eat popcorn but to grab as much of it as you can in a hand and try to get as much of it in your mouth as possible.
Yeah, that's like traditional wisdom. But I'm telling you, if you just pick up one, if you eat as much as you can fit in your mouth, I promise. Like if you picked up two or three pieces,
Yeah.
I swear, it lasts longer and you don't make a mess.
Great. So you're going to be done with the popcorn before the movie starts if you do it that way.
I do that a lot where I'm like, the movie's starting and I have finished my popcorn. <It's> like, I go to the movies a lot.
Rob. I know. Yeah. I know. Uh-huh. I would never do it. And I would be like, it would make me not enjoy the movie if I was in watching a movie in bed and my wife was like eating a bowl of popcorn. I would be like, this is not enjoyable for me. I'm watching every.
It's not the kernel, that's easy enough to like pick out. It's the part kernel, you know, the shred of a kernel, the smushed, the broken seed.
Yeah.
I generally don't eat in bed though. So.
Yeah, me neither. Mm-hmm. I avoid it at all costs.
What about the Doritos when you were recovering from your sickness, Chappelle?
If you read my tweet, I was up doing the Dougie as well. trying to shake it off. No, I don't like to eat in bed. I like to be comfortable because I eat a lot of food. And so I need to be sitting down. I need to be like some sturdy location or something like that. Ground myself, if you will.
I guess I'm a hypocrite though, because I do eat food. I eat snacks on the couch and I do fall asleep on the couch a lot as well. So, you know,
that's fair. I didn't think about that. Yeah. I got that one too. Yeah. You got me there, Grace.
Yeah.
Grace, were there any of the storylines from the second episode that you thought were really interesting?
No, I mean, I think we've pretty much nailed it. It was, you know, Kopka doubting himself and Scheffler, like never doubting anything ever in the world. That was really fun. You know, it's, I think sometimes you're going to get these like pairs that like, they're not all going to be best friends and they're not all going to, you know, whatever. So I think maybe a little bit for Scottie Scheffler, who like he does end up winning the Masters, is one of the, I think he's still ranked pretty high, if not number one in the world. Yeah, he's the current world number one. Maybe a little underutilized for Scottie Scheffler. But I guess also, like, to your point sometimes about reality TV, Rob, it's like they're going to give you what they got. And if this is kind of all they got from Scottie Scheffler, then that makes sense, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, Brooks Koepka is just such a better, like, reality TV figure than Scottie Scheffler. Like, I feel like that the people with the most flaws are often, as we've learned over the years, the most interesting fodder for the reality show, Chappelle.
Your boy Danny Bonaducci was such good TV.
How is he my boy?
Know him. And so there was such good TV watching him navigate the world being himself. Like, it was like literally being Bonaducci. And it was hard to watch, but also very compelling television. And so you kind of want a Brooks who is going to be, you know, kind of having these internal battles as well as this external struggle. So you can watch it and hope that there's going to be like some type of happy ending or some upswing here. I just didn't really like that there wasn't. Yeah, I didn't really like that. I didn't like that they didn't kind of resolve it to where it looked like, you know, there was happiness there. It just kind of looked like, and that's the story of Brooks. Mm-hmm. And on to the next thing. I really wish you'd gone back and even got more of the, what was it? Was it Justin in the first one? Yeah, like they both did poorly. I want to see if they like come back from it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, there's only so much of the year they could use Brooks Koepka before he goes and signs for Lives.
Yeah, that's true.
Fit all this content in the first few months of the year. Yeah.
But I want the follow up. You're right. Where he goes into Lives and then like now we have like the whole story arc is done. You know, like I'm the villain of this story now. And, you know, I wasn't appreciated over there. But now look at me shining in this place. Like, that's what I want. Give me the whole story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Grace, I see that there are 8 episodes up of Full Swing. Do you know, is this in episode 8, it's the description says as the season winds down. So do you know, is it just 8 and that's it? Or is this like one of these Netflix things where it's like this is 8, but it's then there's going to be a second 8 coming?
I think that's probably it. You know, it's so weird because, Drive to Survive does 10 all at once. And then this show is done 8 all at once, but then Breakpoint did 5 and 5, I think is what's happening between January and then June. First is the second release. Set.
Yeah.
First set, second set. Yeah. So I would assume this is it. But part of me thought that like with what happened with Breakpoint was that more that like they still needed time because the season would have just ended. They wanted more time. So that's why they broke up the season. But Full Swing seems to have been able to just get the whole thing done. February 15th.
Yeah, my review on this, it's very watchable. The episode run times are very manageable. Like, this isn't a show where you're getting like, you know, hour-long episodes. Like, the episodes are like, you know, 40, 42 minutes, 8 episodes. very easy to just like, you know, knock this out. And I think if you are, you know, even have like a passing interest in golf, I think this is a fun one to watch.
And I appreciate these Netflix series because in my mind, they make me like a very casual fan of these sports now, because I you asked me prior to this conversation or, the, you know, this series, you asked me about golf. I couldn't name like four active golfers. I just couldn't, because it's just something that I just don't pay attention to. But now in my mind, if I hear these people's names, I'm kind of like, oh, I know a thing about that person, you know, and now I know kind of like a little backstory. It might make me a little bit more interested to care about what's going on in golf. And because I know it did for Drive to Survive for a minute, because we tweeted out the links and, you know, Twitter was like, oh, so you like like race car driving, right? Mm-hmm. And so I would get all these articles and stuff. And every now and then I'd say, oh, I know him. So I appreciate that. It was really good, Rob. It really was. It just if you're a golf fan, you might really, really like it, because it gives you like the backstory to the main story, which you always watch.
Yep. And as Grace alluded to earlier, season 5 of Drive to Survive is coming this week to Netflix. Mm-hmm. So it's all happening. If you like this format, you are ready. You're eating on Netflix right now.
Yeah, I'll look to have some coverage of Drive to Survive, I think, for sure, on the Off-Speed pod. I did say we talked about whether we're going to cover Full Swing on Off-Speed. My good friend Mikey, who is my golf, is a little bit out of town. There's a slight chance I messaged me last night that he might be able to be around. So there might be, we might get to cover the other six episodes. We shall see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about what else is coming up here on Netflix as we are getting close to the end of February. And I think it might be fun just to take some inventory here of what's going on over at Netflix as we take a look at what's coming next week. Okay, Chappelle, looking at what's hot right now, do you have any things that you want to comment on? By the way, your place or mine, still at number three. You doubted it.
I have to acknowledge that. I did. I really thought Netflix was going to be releasing a lot of new and inciting content. And instead, Netflix decided to re-release Two Guns and to the movies. you know, Madea still in the top 10 per usual. You People, Lyle Lyle Crocodile, after a 10-year hiatus, is back in the top 10 somehow.
Yeah. Netflix, Trolls. They could take the old and turn it new again. Make it, you know, make it hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am truly shocked by
make
that.
Make it pop. And of course, Joe Goldberg is still dominating at number one.
Yeah, as he will. He will for a little bit because people are nuts. But yeah, I'm looking. And I mean, there's nothing really pops out to me. It's like, oh, I got to see this. Now, The Woman King is on there. But of course, you know, that was like a like highly regarded and like released in theaters and stuff like that. Netflix is kind of just resting on its laurels right now.
Mm-hmm. Good time for The Woman King. I was going to say good time. It's actually bad timing. It didn't get nominated for anything. Should have released it sooner. So it had some buzz going into the Oscars. Good movie, The Woman King. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got some stuff coming this week. We mentioned Formula One, but there's one that is interesting to me. It's called We Have a Ghost.
Yeah.
Coming Friday. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Great. So you're aware of We Have a Ghost?
I saw it coming up on Netflix, and then I look at the cast. I'm like, what a fun little cast. David Harbour and Anthony Mackie, both in We Have a Ghost. Yeah.
Okay. After finding a ghost with a murky past haunting their new house, a family becomes internet sensations and the targets of a shadowy government agency. It's a family movie.
Billed as a, what did I see? Like goofy comedy, heartfelt goofy horror comedy.
Yeah.
Classic. I mean,
we kind of have to do it, Rob. It's right there.
Okay. Yeah, to me, it reminds me of a little bit of The Curse of Bridge Hollow that we did back at Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've done a lot of spooky stuff here on Nothing But Netflix. And even though it's not spooky season, I think this is a black ass movie from what I can tell. And this is Black History Month.
And we haven't done enough. And Jennifer Coolidge is also there. And Tig Notaro, who we talked about last week.
Yeah.
What a cast. Yeah.
Nah, this I feel like this is if it's not number one on Netflix, I think this is number one in my heart. So if it pleases the court, I would like to do this.
All right. We have a ghost coming up next week. Should be a fun one. You know, I do love where we can, you know, jump on a movie early on. Some other stuff that's coming to Netflix later on in, you know, late February, early March. What's interesting is that there is going to be, I think this is a first that I can recall, they're doing a Chris Rock stand-up special live on March 4th at 10 p.m. Eastern. Chappelle, we have a live comedy show here on Netflix. I don't think it would be the kind of thing that would be great to podcast. I just think it's interesting that Netflix is doing this.
Yeah, Netflix has to like reinvent itself all the time because it just won't do what we want it to do, which is give us cheap movies for, you know, that's it. Just give us new cheap movies. That's all we want. We want to watch, and we want our stuff that we like to just stay there forever. I want to be able to know that 10 years from now, Survivor Choking Teens is still going to be there and you're not going to take it down in 30 days, you know? Mm-hmm. That's what we want from Netflix, but Netflix won't do that. So they have to go above and beyond and make these interactive games. And now, I guess, live comedy specials. And I'm not shocked that it's Chris Rock, because Chris Rock is a good comedy special always.
Historically, also, yeah.
Yeah, but also, you know, he's kind of topical, you know, in the last year or so. It's been some Chris Rock drama. So I would like to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a downside to doing a live event for Netflix, right? So they can try it. And like, this is the thing, like, you know, even like these HBO shows that are like, you know, the only thing that are premiere, you know, you got to be there to watch it. You can also just wait and not watch it and then you can binge it, right? Like every show is actually a binge show, right? Yeah. So you get the best of both worlds when you do this live event thing. You try Chris Rock, do it. If it works, it works. And if not, people will just watch it. Unless you can't watch it later, but I can't imagine that.
Ooh, no, I'm sure you can.
That's the move.
Yeah.
But that's the move, right? What if they bring back cable, you know, like, and they're just doing the thing where, okay, Netflix is having a one-time event. It's coming up. And if you miss it, you just miss it. And the only thing, like, and because of the way Netflix has its like blockers up, like you can't really screen record it. Like if somebody actually wants to record it has to be like recorded on like a cell phone or something, like a bootleg.
They take your phone away. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, give me something like that to where it's kind of, it's must view television. We all have to be sitting in the same spot. I know it's been done, but I'm telling you, we like this vintage thing here.
I do think it's going to be big. March 4th, 10 p.m. It's a Saturday night. I'm sure you go on Twitter, like people are going to be live tweeting that Chris Rock special.
Yeah,
this is gonna be huge.
It's smart. I do think like Netflix is, I think, kind of stuck in this thing in terms of I think that like to get engagement on like Netflix shows often just like come out and then they're kind of gone out of the zeitgeist, the cultural conversation. I think they've been trying a little bit to extend that. This is also like quarterly, like trying to get people to renew. But with Stranger Things, they broke it up, you know. But they're so stuck in like Netflix drop shows all at once. So I think this is interesting to try and be like, actually, you can watch it first here. Come watch it live. I think it's very interesting.
One other thing I want to mention, because Grace is here with us, is another thing coming to Netflix March 1st. It's called Cheat. It is a British game show. Okay. Right in your wheelhouse, Grace.
Yes.
And it's advertised as a bunch of lion weasels on March 1st. Equal parts brains and blagging. I don't know, Grace, what's blagging? B-L-A-G-G-I-N-G. Blagging. Is that lying?
Obtaining something by using persuasion or guile. Yeah.
This quiz show expects and encourages contestants to cheat their way to a cash prize. The one rule, don't get caught.
That's kind of fun. That's a fun, you know, there's no rules. Interesting.
Looks
hosted
like
by Danny Dyer. So, interesting. Yeah.
And then just circling back to comedy shows, I have to say, Chappelle, in my own personal Netflix viewing, the First Lady of Podcasting and I have been just like bouncing around to Netflix comedy, in that we don't have to follow the plot. And it's like we can have a conversation. It's been very fun. Just like, okay, we're watching something. We're not just flipping through. What do you want to watch? What do you want to try? Do you want to start a new thing? You just put one on, and then if it stinks, go to the next one.
Yeah, I heard you've been. Have you been watching what? Sweet and Juicy.
Sweet and Juicy. Oh, I loved it. Yeah,
that's your bag. Yeah,
Sheng Wang.
Yeah, when I was growing up, I was I used to watch Comedy Central for fun. Like, I would just watch it instead of cartoons. And I remember watching just stand-up special after stand-up special after stand-up special. And then when they would switch to some television show, I would just turn it off and go watch cartoons again. Mm-hmm. So I got like a real, like, I'm real close to the stand-up life just of watching these specials my whole life. And so I would check out one of these. I don't know. Again, I don't know if it's fun podcasting, but
no, it wouldn't be. I don't think it would be good at a podcast. But like, I think they should have like a top 10 also for like the stand up specials, because I feel like they're neither movies nor TV.
I think we could do a podcast about a stand up special. What you would do is just like whatever the comedian is talking about, you just like riff on it.
It would be like I think better like a Renap episode of like it's just like, it would be like banter to talk about, like you know, Sheng Wang talked about like going to Costco and talk about like going to Costco.
And then we just talk about Costco for a little bit. I'm telling you, look, I pissed for the wheel on our sister. On our sister podcast, Renap. So if you, the mother podcast, anyway. Yeah. So if you decide to do
Renap
that,
is mother. Me. Everybody says that on Twitter.
Yes. Mother.
Yes. Okay. Renap,
the way Akiva mothered last week. Yes.
For sure. Okay. Yeah. All right. Grace, I know you are always one of the busiest podcasters. What are you up to these days?
Lots of stuff. Mostly The Last of Us, doing the recap with Mike Bloom each Sunday. And then Video Game Club with Taryn. It's been a lot of fun. Covering Poker Face, as you said, a well-made cheeseburger of a TV show. It's been very fun. And Post Recaps Theater, covering movies each week with Ariel. We're covering this. We covered Magic Mike's Last Dance last week and the Titanic re-release, 25-year anniversary. And we'll be covering Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, which is getting terrible reviews. But I loved I thought it was so fun.
To what the movie industry would have you believe. They're trying to keep you away from Ant-Man.
That's right. That's what the movie industry is saying. Don't go see Marvel movies. That's what, that's what they're saying, I think. Yeah. And also covering Dark, if you're a fan of a Netflix show. My favorite scripted show of all time. A Netflix show.
Oh, my God. Show.
Yeah. I don't think it's nothing but Netflix. It's very dark, as the name implies. But we're doing a full rewatch of Dark, a brilliant season, three season show on TV. And I'm on Twitter at Hi From Grace. Don't miss February 20th, 8 p.m. Eastern. We'll be playing Sushi Go for RJP Game Night.
Yes.
Ali Lasher, Maggie Morgan, Mike Bloom, Marianne from Survivor 42, and Aaron Robertson. Should be very fun. So check it out.
All right. Good crew. All right. Grace, always a pleasure to have you back here with us on Nothing But Netflix.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay. All right. And then Chappelle, what's coming up for you this week?
Okay. I got a lot going on this week. Okay. It's going to be a busy one. I'm not going to lie to you. Of course, here on Rob Has a Podcast, I will be talking about Australian Survivor with Shannon and Rob on Thursday.
Oh, that's official. We're doing that?
Yeah, I think so. I think I was tapped for that. So that's official. Yeah,
well, Shannon was like, I'd love to talk to Chappelle for Australian Survivor. I'm like, bring him in. Let's get him.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about Australian Survivor. It's going to be a good time. There won't be any like headbutting between me and Shannon. We're both on the same page with this season. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah. Saw that there was like some, got some like, was it buzzworthy? I saw that, made some headlines with some of my comments about Australian Survivor. It's like,
oh no, go on. What happened?
Still got it. Yeah.
Yes. Look at you.
Still got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, of course, we talk about Australian Survivor, but Survivor 44 is coming. And so the Survivor 44 draft, we about a week from now or whatever. And so check that out as well on Rob Has a Podcast. You'll get to see what happened after last season's interesting finale, who won, and what's going to happen this season coming up, and who's going to pick the winner. So again, check that out on RHAP. Over on Post Show Recaps, I am covering a lot of things. Me and Puya have the premiere of Bel-Air season 2 on Post Show Recaps coming soon. So you can check out the Bel-Air A Post Show Recap on wherever you get your podcast to keep up with that. Also, me and Ariel will be covering the I won't say the rise and fall, but the story of Meredith Grey over on Grey's Anatomy.
Very exciting. Yes.
So this is Ellen Pompeo's last season of Grey's Anatomy. And so Ariel and I are going to pay homage to Meredith. She will probably still be on the show in various capacities, but she's not going to be one of the main characters and stuff like that. So we're going to talk about the craziness that is Meredith Grey. And then we might even get into more characters in the future. So check that out on Post Show Recaps. LaTanya, Mari, and I are going to be covering the final season of Snowfall on what we're calling the Post Show Recaps Connect. It's where we talk about the Black shows, y'all. Where we talked about Insecure, we talked about Atlanta, and now we're talking about Snowfall. So check that out on Post Show Recaps. If you're already subscribed to our Atlanta feed, you'll see that automatically. If not, we'll make sure to keep talking about it so you can find it. I will be on Silent Podcast soon talking about Big Brother 6. I think about a week from now, Isaiah, myself, Sasha and Tyrone are probably going to go back in time and talk about one of my favorite seasons of Big Brother. So check that out. Myself and Gia Worthy are talking about Survivor this week as well, because on Silent Podcast, Gia is talking about Fiji. Survivor Fiji, mm-hmm. Fiji Forever podcast. The finale is upon us. This week, her guest is like Marianne. And then I think next week it's me. So check that out as well. Gia and I are still talking about Abbott Elementary on Post Show Recaps too. So you could get a lot of me and Gia in various places on your podcast feed in the next few weeks. But yeah, that's what I got going on, Rob. Not too much, huh?
Look, it comes and goes. Sometimes you're like, I got nothing this week. And then I got like 17 podcasts.
Oh, there you go. There's the 17.
Okay. Well, I hope you get your strength back.
Yeah, of course. Oh, Rob, did we talk about the Jackbox games? Check us out on Twitch. We're playing Jackbox games mm-hmm. soon, you know? So, yeah, all that stuff. You're right. Give me a week or so, and then I'm going to crash, and we'll start all the way over.
Okay. Well, this was a lot of fun to go through Full Swing with the both of you here today, of course. Make sure you get everything we're doing over on RHAP when you subscribe to our podcast feeds. They're all available for you at robisawebsite.com/subscribe. Thank you so much for listening to us today. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.